The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation. Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch on the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, the good news is that I get to hang out with my friend Jason Fitz now of Yahoo Sports. The bad news, Eddie Pascal here, by the way, in the fifth quarter presented by Twitch, is that we have to talk about, man, candidly, a day to forget in Buffalo. Your Las Vegas Raiders fall to the Bills 38-10 in a game that really, after the break, didn't really feel that close. But Fitz, I'm so excited to see you. Can we start here on a positive note? You have a new, exciting job. You made me do a lot of work this week and change all your lower thirds. But all the same, man, it's so good to see you. You sound great. How is life, good sir?
You know what? It's never too early to make this joke. I tweeted out, yeah, it's better than 51-3, because I still remember being a kid and losing the AFC Championship game that way. No, it's never. And look on the bright side. You know what? I ate my feelings today, so I've officially had an entire box of donuts. Like an entire box of Entenmann's double chocolate devil donuts. I've eaten the entire thing. So you know what? All the working out I've been doing went to you know what today, and I ate my feelings. But you know, the thing of it is, Eddie, as bad as this loss was, we need to remember it's early in the season. There are a bunch of teams right now that are struggling. There's a lot of football left. These are the sorts of things that you find out who the best teams in the AFC are. I believe the Bills are one of them. And you figure out how you sort of climb your way up the wall to get to where they are. So you got to go through these sort of learning curves to figure out where the Raiders are going to be this year. I didn't think they would be a one seed in the AFC, and I did think the Bills would be. So, you know, there's going to be some positive that comes of this eventually, I hope.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it is important to stress to everyone, to our very even-keeled fan bases, you know, Jason Fitz, that it is early. It's week two. The Raiders now come back to Allegiant Stadium for their home opener, sitting at 1-1. But I think for me, and you said it really nicely, Fitz, where going into today, this was a tough matchup on paper. Flying east, yes, the Raiders stayed in West Virginia for the week, but going to take on a Buffalo Bills team that kind of got punched in the mouth a week ago, their home opener, those fans are raucous, they're ready to do their thing. I knew this was going to be an uphill battle for your Las Vegas Raiders. What I did not see, Fitz, what I did not expect, was it to get out of hand like it did. I mean, you look at some of these numbers, and brother, they're ugly. Right? I mean, you look at the Raiders' rushing yards, which are a little deceptive because you throw in 34-yard rush by Trey Tucker. But Josh Jacobs, Fitz, -2 yards on the day. And for a team like the Raiders that at this point in time, in my opinion, is not built to overcome big leads like this, you got to get more from number 8. You just have to.
Yeah, I think the craziest part about that is that Jimmy Garoppolo stayed upright even after they understood that the game plan wasn't going to involve running the football. And you're right. So far, I think you and I would be two card-carrying members of the Josh Jacobs fan club, right? 100%. And it still hasn't looked good. The first 2 weeks, the running game hasn't looked in sync. There's a lot that comes into that, right? Like, there's a lot of timing that goes into the blocks. There's a lot of, you just can't practice this. I talked to Jeff Schwartz last week and asked him why offensive lines look so bad early on across the league in different ways. He talked a lot about the things you just can't prepare for, shifts and stunts and movement on the defensive line. It's just, it takes an offensive line, in his estimation, a month to figure out who they're going to be. Right now, the Raiders' offensive line is holding up in pass protection, but it does not look good enough in the run game. I mean, the first carry of the game, Josh Jacobs barely had the ball in his hands before he was sitting down on the turf, right? And that's just the way, 2 straight weeks, teams have said, you know what, we will take away the run. The Raiders are going to have to figure out some way to get around that. And I don't know what the answer to that is right now, because there's simply no hole for him to try and run through.
Yeah, 100%. I always want to clarify, too, like my little preamble, that was not a shot at Josh. I was just saying, in general, you have to get more from the running back position, whether it's Josh, whether it's Zamir, Amir, whoever it is. But Fitz, I think you bring up a good point there, too, where, yes, it feels like the Raiders' offensive line is held up in pass protection. But all the same, it felt like Jimmy did not have a ton of time to operate today. Yes, he officially wasn't sacked, but all the same, like, the, you know, Ed Oliver reborn, it felt like, in the backfield for the Las Vegas Raiders today. Like, that dude was everywhere. And I wonder, you know, I don't know if the Raiders are going to have the luxury of waiting a month for this offensive line to kind of, I don't want to say figure it out, but to really gel and to become a cohesive unit. Because, man, you look at these next two games, two tough games upcoming for the Silver and Black.
Here's the hardest part of facing a defensive line like Buffalo's. It's that multiple guys can beat you. And one thing, you and I were texting during the game saying, man, the Raiders' defensive line just wasn't making enough of a push or an impact in this game. And we just sort of gotten used to the concept that Max Crosby can come in and be Superman every week and just will it. But at some point, the hardest thing is when you are taking on a team that can beat you on the edge in the and the interior. And the Bills' defensive line can do that. It's the reason that the Bills are my preseason Super Bowl pick. Like, I genuinely believe the Bills have one of the better defenses in the league, and they have one of the tougher offenses to stop. So it makes it a nightmare for an offensive line that's trying to figure out where all of this is coming from and how to get things pulled around. So it just feels like everything right now for the Raiders' offensive line and running game is developing slower than we're used to. And I don't know how you solve that. Cause you're right. Like, that's something that has to get solved. The method to winning the football game for the Raiders has been for years. And I think still is. You're going to control the clock. You're going to run the ball. You're going to be calculated with the football. You're going to take your shots when you have them, but a shot might only be 15 yards down the field. Like, I think we have kind of a sense of the offense they want to run, but if you're going to run that offense, you can't do it one-legged. If you can't run the football, you are essentially running that offense one-legged.
You know, we talk about time of possession and Josh McDaniels wanting to own the line of scrimmage and to milk the clock, and especially with a guy like Jimmy, who is so comfortable at the line of scrimmage, who is so comfortable getting his offense in the right position. You look at the time of possession today, Fitz, 40:04 for the Buffalo Bills. Yes, I will repeat that. 40 minutes and 4 seconds for the Buffalo Bills. 19:56 for the Silver and Black. The Bills doubled them up on time of possession. And like, I don't want to say you can narrow or, you know, minimize the game to one stat, but if you had to pick one, Fitz, that would be the number, right?
Well, and it matches something we've seen from week one, right? So trends are important to me. And I keep saying this on Yahoo Sports, which I will promote till I'm blue in the
Shameless
face.
Plug alert.
One of the things I've talked to the guys, thank you, across our shows is that I like to take things in threes. So I like to look at a three-year period to figure out how good a team is. I like to look at three-week periods to have a sweeping take, right? So sometimes you just have to be a little patient. But we have seen through the course of 2 weeks now that the Raiders' plan is to limit possessions and to limit snaps overall. I think it's part of how they want to limit the exposure of their defense. Look at the way this team is playing defense right now. The objective in week one and week two was, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to force everything to stay in front of me, and I'm going to try and tackle as sound as possible. That works because it gets you into third and three. Where the Raiders had a problem today is that third and three turned into fourth and one, turned into first down, right? Like, they couldn't get off the field. But if you are going to run that play, then you are exposing, if you're going to run your defense that way, you're exposing your defense to long drives, which means your offense better be able to counter with one drive. Like, the worst thing that can happen for the Raiders right now is an 85-yard touchdown, because you're going to immediately put this defense that's trying to play safe, don't kill us, just let it keep in front of us, right back on the field. That time of possession, that's why the game got out of hand. It was a two-score game in the third quarter, and you thought, okay, one good drive could change this. But every single time the defense went back out there, you could see they were gassed. They had nothing left in the tank. And how can you blame them if they're out on the field for that many snaps?
I mean, you look at this, Fitz, right, where the second half starts, and the Bills march down the field, nine-minute-plus drive, nine-plus minutes. I think it was 9:01. I don't have the exact number in front of me. I think it was either 9:01 or 9:04. But Jimmy G sat on the sideline for damn near a full quarter. And I mean, that's a credit to the Bills and what they were able to do and control the line of scrimmage and milk that clock and chug, 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 chug along. But all the same, like, it feels like we're kind of in a predicament, right, with this defense. At this point of the game, week two, and I got to put it in big, bold letters and, you know, make it Flash Vegas style. Week two, week two, week two. This is not who the Raiders are going to be. They are not a finished product. But at this point, week two, you kind of understand what the defense is, what their objective is. But to keep them on the field for that long, it's not fair to them. It's not fair to that group. And then you look at on the flip side, right, is when the defense is on the field that long, offense can't find a rhythm. And then around and around and around we go. And then you look up and it's a 4-touchdown loss.
And what do you do when you're taking on a quarterback that is patient? And that was, I thought it was interesting. The broadcast referred to patience a couple of times. This defensive strategy relies on a quarterback that is eventually going to get the impulse of impatience. Russell Wilson did it a few times. So if your strategy is, I'm just going to force Josh Allen to settle for, like, I believe completion percentages this year against the Raiders are going to be historic, because what they are doing is they're playing so far back in this zone that they're going to let Russell Wilson carve you up, but they're not going to let those touchdowns happen in the red zone. That's their hope. They had a couple, they had the nice fourth down stop on the goal line, right? Like, that's the way this defense is going to run. They're willing to give you 14, 15, 16 completions in a row if you're willing to be patient and take those 14, 15, 16 completions at 4 yards a clip. That's a win for the way that they're protecting their secondary. So if that's going to be the strategy, then when you face a great quarterback that can beat you with his arms and beat you with his legs and is also particularly patient and is coming off of a game where he screwed up, man, that's just like a recipe for disaster. Josh Allen came into this game knowing exactly, all I have to do is not screw this game up and we're going to be just fine. And that's exactly how it played out.
Josh Allen finishes the day 31 of 37, 3 touchdowns, 274 yards, QBR 124.5. But to your point about giving what the defense is going to, or excuse me, taking what the defense is going to give you, he starts the day 13 to 13, right? I mean, he starts very much in rhythm, the definition of being in rhythm. But Fitz, like, you brought up the fact that we were texting throughout the game, and I want to ask you, I don't want to say like a meta question, but a philosophical question. That first series for the Raiders, you could not have drawn it up any better. That was as perfect can be. 75 yards, 5 plays, offense is rolling, Devontae's doing his thing, Jimmy looks calm, poised, collected in the pocket. What happened after that?
Small misses. And look, I think when you are a good team, and we talk about this a lot in college football, when you are the lesser talented team, and I say that with a lot of humility, understanding I'm not trying to question anybody playing on the field and their God-given ability. When you are considered to be the lesser team, you have to take advantage of every opportunity. So you look back at this game. It's 7-0. The Raiders force a 3-and-out. They get the ball. It looks like there's going to be this great opportunity to go down. I loved the screen call, for example. It gets tipped at the line and turns into an interception. And instead of, I mean, if you looked at, I'll go back and watch the all 22, but at least on the game, in the moment, it looked like there was 20 yards of green grass in front of Abdullah right there, right? So that little tip turns into a pick, turns into a tie game. Then you look at the next drive, and there's what looks like a miscommunication where you think the Devontae's open for a back shoulder sort of opportunity, and instead it falls flat. Like, there were little moments where things were just slightly out of sync. And again, when you are trying to protect the defensive strategy and you are trying to extend drives and you can't run the football, that leaves Jimmy G in this passing offense absolutely no margin for error. And that's not a healthy way to live. Like, how do you fix when things go wrong? Because the answer for the Bills is, you got Josh Allen. He's a fixer, right? The answer for the Chiefs is you got Patrick Mahomes. He's a fixer. When you got guys that can sort of run around and make these miraculous plays, when you are an offense that is more built on, hey, we're going to use the weapons we have and we're going to remain on schedule, you have to remain on schedule. That's the hardest part about watching 3 quarters of this football game, is that 4 or 5 plays make a difference between going into the fourth quarter tied and your defense isn't gassed versus going into the fourth quarter, getting your butts flat out kicked and nobody's got anything left in the tank.
Yeah. And I think it's an important designation that we make, right? Where I don't have the expectation that come week 3, week 4, really for the rest of the season, that our guy Josh Jacobs is going to average negative rushing yards per carry, right? Like, today is an outlier. Today's going to be one of those funky ones that when we look at his game logs for the season come January and we see that random negative two, we're going to be like, wow, that's one of these things is not like the other. Like, I'm a firm believer. We just look at Josh's history. Look at what Josh Jacobs, I should say, has been able to do when he gets the ball in his hands. He's going to bounce back. This offensive line is going to gel. They are going to be able to run the ball, I hope, effectively. But all the same, like, to your point, when you have an offense that is predicated on doing what they want to do, controlling the line of scrimmage, patient, methodical, let Jimmy cook when necessary, if you take away, to your point, if you're one-legged, if you have, you know, 50% of your arsenal that just isn't working, that's going to be a long day at the office. And that's exactly what we saw today.
I mean, think about, so I'll even go back to week 1, because Josh averaged, I think, 2.5 yards a carry, if I remember correctly, week 1. It was not the effort that I think he wanted running the football. But let's look at the way this offense is built. And they've been clear about identity, that they're not going to shift some of this. They're going to make teams react to them. So a lot of big sets, a lot of fullback usage, a lot of 2 tight ends. We've talked about that, right? So you think about what first down means. If your expectation is that you've got the best running back in the NFL, you've got an offensive line that seems to be playing better this year than last year. If your expectation is that first down is going to get you a 4-yard rush, Now you're looking at second and six. Over the course of this game, a run on first and 10 turned to a second and nine, turned to, you know, Jimmy G drops back. Everybody goes back to take care of Devontae. That leaves a little outlet underneath for a running back or a tight end to catch a ball that puts you in third and three. But the problem is third and three is now a passing down because you can't run the football. So running the football puts you behind the chains on second down, and it makes third down almost impossible. Look at the difference in this game for Josh Allen on the other side of the ball. Third and three was a chef's choice play because if they didn't get it on third and three, they were going to get it on fourth and one. And it's just, it's such a reminder that as much as we as a society obsess over quarterbacks and wide receivers and cornerbacks and all of these things, at the end of the day, you and I both know, like, these games are won in the trenches. And in the trenches, Buffalo was far better on both sides of the ball than the Raiders were. So it makes everything more difficult when you're either having to figure out a way to keep everybody. Look at the formations where they were keeping two running backs in the backfield just to try and create a little more time. That means there's only a couple of guys out in the pattern to throw to. Boy, they sure as heck better get open. Like, all of this just, it ties one hand behind your back when it comes to play calling, when it comes to execution. It makes everything more difficult when you can't run the ball on first and one or first and 10, and you are a team built to run the football.
When you lose 38 to 10, there is obviously no shortage of questions to be asked, things that you want to figure out headed into the next week. But for me, Fitz, my big question coming out of this game, and look, I, you know, credit to the Bills. They did what they needed to do. They were clearly the better football team today in Western New York. But my question for the 2023 Raiders now is, who's Robin, right? When you look at some of the Batmen, plural, on the Raiders, the Raiders roster in general, you got Max Crosby, Batman. You got Devontae Adams, Batman. You got, you know, Josh Jacobs, Batman. But who's going to play Robin to them? Because you look at Devontae today. Devontae goes 6 catches, 84 yards, unfortunately ends the day in the concussion protocol. But who is your next leading receiver after that? It's Hunter Renfrow, who's got one target. That, to me, does not feel sustainable, right? Josh Jacobs isn't able to get rolling. Josh Jacobs is a stud. We talked about this a lot. Who's able to come in and give a little boost? Yeah, I know Zamir had a few nice runs towards the end. Max Crosby's going to get his numbers. It hasn't happened so far, but he's going to get his numbers. Who's going to be the Robin to his Batman? And to me, through 2 weeks, and again, big, bold letters flashing, Fitz, week two, that, to me, is I wouldn't say my biggest concern, but my biggest question as we now come home for the home opener.
I mean, didn't we feel the lack of a Robin with Jacoby Myers?
Right? 100%.
Jacoby Myers in week one was an American treasure, right? And you mentioned the defensive side of the ball. Like, we're all waiting as a fan base for Malcolm Kuntz to have a big breakout moment. I know everybody wants to hype on Tyree Wilson. I will continue to remind you. This is an easy reference for everybody. Go back and look at the sack numbers for Khalil Mack year one. Like, it takes edge rushers a bit. It takes them a second to become who they are. Even Max, obviously, in his first year, wasn't anywhere near the way Max is right now. Tyree's got a lot of rust to knock off from missing a lot of football. I'm not going to judge him too harshly based on two games at the beginning of the year. Let's see where he is by week 10 or 11. Like, that's genuinely my Tyree Wilson thing is, like, let's see who he is in week 10, 11, 12. Then we might have a little bit better mindset. But they went in knowing as an organization they weren't going to rely on him in year one. So all of a sudden, from the defensive line standpoint, you're right. There is no Robin that has been able to take advantage of everything. And then you're in this weird spot where, okay, so now what are you going to do? Are you going to blitz? Because if you blitz, you're going to expose your secondary. And if you expose your secondary, are you really prepared for that against Stephon Diggs? I wouldn't be. So, like, I think Jacorian Bennett has the chance to be a great player in this league. I really do. But in his first year, he's going to have ups and downs. Just like, I don't know, Charles Woodson had some ups and downs in his rookie year, right? Like, these things happen. So if you're trying to protect Jacorian Bennett, and if you're trying to figure out who your linebackers really are, and you don't have that extra pass rush without that other person that can just disrupt the pocket, and it hasn't come from the interior or the exterior, it creates such difficulty for them defensively. So you can't even afford for Nate Hobbs to have a weird game. And I thought he did have a weird game today. Like, it was, there were moments that I thought there could have been penalties both ways. And Hobbs was a little bit inconsequential at times. And, like, but what do you expect? He's not going to single-handedly stop Stephon Diggs. The best corner in the league can't do that. So, you know, their Devontae Adams in Stephon Diggs was able to take advantage of things that our offense couldn't, because they just have more Gabe Davis. They have more weapons. To your point, they have a Batman and a Robin, and sometimes they have, like, a Catwoman, and sometimes they also have a Joker. Like, they've got all of that in Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point with the rookies, Fitz, and I'll just go to someone who's a guy currently on the roster. How often did we hear for calls of, oh, what did the Raiders do selecting Colton Miller? Oh, man, I don't know what this guy's going to be. And all he's done, Fitz, is very quietly become a perennial a Pro Bowl left tackle. So I think it is important, and we live in such a reactionary NFL world, and I'm certainly, you and I are victim to that at times. But pump the brakes on the rookies, the Michael Mayers, the Jakorian Bennett, the Tyrees. Like, it is going to come. We have seen flashes of it. We've seen glimpses of it. Now, do we want to see it more consistently and more sustainably? Absolutely. But again, stop me if you've heard this before. We are 2 weeks into this adventure. But I think one thing where, you know, we've kind of harped on everything that didn't really work today for obvious reasons. But one thing that I think if you really are kind of looking for, I don't even want to say silver linings, because when you lose by 4 touchdowns, hard to find any silver linings. But one thing that you can feel kind of good about headed into week 3, health considered, it feels like we are seeing the Jimmy Garoppolo, Devontae Adams chemistry on-field relationship grow in real time, Fitz, because there were a couple of those completions, especially early on, where you say, that doesn't feel like two dudes have been playing with each other for 3 months. You know what I mean?
I think it also speaks to control of the offense, right? Like, mm-hmm. I would say that early on, Jimmy G looks like he has a really good grasp on what the Raiders are trying to do. Now, obviously, there's been some missteps along the way. There's been, you know, some plays that I think they would admit that they want back. But it does feel like when you get to the line of scrimmage, your QB has an understanding of what's happening. He's communicating it well with your best wide receiver. Seeing that back shoulder stuff work and even attempt in this game speaks to the sort of rhythm that they're getting together. And we have to remember, for better or for worse, a lot of training camp wasn't even going to be part of this conversation, you know? How often do we hear people say positive things in the broadcast during a blowout loss? I was pointed out several times in the broadcast that, like, this is a work in progress for this offense. I don't think that the beginning of the season is necessarily going to be an abject disaster. But let's remember last year, I think it was Jacksonville that started 2-6 and then made the playoffs. Like, there is some level of, hey, we got to get some rhythm to this. We got to get figured. We got to get these things figured out. I'm actually pretty impressed that first drive, the first half in general. There were plenty of times where you looked at it and said, okay, it didn't work, but I think the Raiders have a good idea of what they're trying to accomplish, how they're trying to do it. I understand watching it, what their offensive identity is. Like, I feel comfortable that the Raiders feel like they're moving in the right direction. It's just, I mean, you can't be moving in the right direction and not execute it perfectly when you're playing on the road against what I think is going to be the team with home field advantage in the AFC.
Yeah, and another guy who I think had a really nice day in bits and spurts was Trey Tucker. Welcome to the NFL, Mr. Tucker. Nice to meet you. Good to see you, pal. It's been a hot minute. But I think that, you know, again, he's one of those dudes that I think when you look into Josh McDaniels' toolbox, it provides a very, very unique kind of skill set. I'm excited to see kind of what he does as we progress throughout the season. But Fitz, all the same, right? It doesn't matter if you win by a point, if you lose by a point or you lose by 28, like the Raiders lost today. At the end of the day, an L is an L. The Raiders took one on the chin today. But all the same, they are 1-1 headed home for the home opener. Does week 3, does Sunday Night Football feel a little spicier, maybe a little more intense coming off of this afternoon's result? Absolutely. But you look at the AFC West, and as we record this right now, Fitz, Raiders 1-1, Chiefs 1-1, Broncos playing right now. The Chargers 0-2. So I think we have to collectively kind of inhale, exhale a little bit. It's going to be okay. Really bad day at the office today, but we still got a lot of football ahead of us.
Yeah, I mean, every team in the West right now could ask serious questions about what the heck's going wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really thought the Chargers would absolutely go in and show the Titans something, right? And instead, the Titans do that to them. You know, I'm stunned. We've now seen the Chargers in two, like, their identity is what it is. They're going to be in close games that are shootouts, right? Like, that's the way they're going to win football games. The Chiefs struggled to get their offense doing anything all day. I mean, not a division example, but let me just ask you this. Like, do you think the Bengals fans are just sitting around here saying, oh my God, we don't stand a chance? Like, this is early season. This is just sort of what happens. Now, I watched a lot of the Pittsburgh game a couple of times to try and figure out what we were all wrong about, but let's be real here. That Pittsburgh offense has great fantasy football names that has not put it together. So, you know, when you start talking about who the Raiders are going to be, they're about to take on a Steelers team that I'm not convinced their offense really has a quarterback. Like, I'm not sure Kenny Pickett is that guy. And if the approach is going to be every week, play this soft zone that keeps it in front of us, you have a much better chance of doing that against Pickens and Pickett than you do, which is hard for me to say, than you do against Diggs and Allen. Like, Diggs and Allen, that's just recipe for disaster. Pickens and Pickett, you can win a football game that way. So I think that as much as everybody wants to think the sky is falling today, let's wait and see the next couple of games before we try and figure out who this team's going to be.
I'm pretty sure Pickens and Pickett was a law firm that I used for some clerical work back in the early 2000s, Fitz. But I agree with you 100%, man, where it's like, let's take it by quarters, right? We can't do it a nice even quarters anymore because there's 17 games. But let's reevaluate after the Chargers game. Right. And I'm not much into the prognostication. You know me, I'm not deep into the forecasting and predicting and things like that. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, if 3 weeks from now, 2.5 weeks from now, the Las Vegas Raiders are 3-1, what are you going to look back at this game? You're like, man, that was a tough day at the office, but I like the way the Raiders bounced back. But I like the way they were able to respond to X, Y, and Z. But they figured it out. They used it as a catalyst, whatever it is. Does it sting today? Yes. Does it burn today? Yes. Are we going to have a lot of fun on Monday? No, we are not. But all the same, now you have a chance to reset the mechanism, see what in a limited sense worked against the Bills, and get ready for a Pittsburgh Steelers team on Sunday Night Football, man, and at a home opener. And you know as well as I do, that beautiful stadium right down there off the strip is going to be rocking a week from tonight.
You know, when you talk about why we try not to prognosticate too much. Mostly I just wanted to prove I could also use the big word. But why we try not to do it too much. I think you got to play the schedule game a little bit right now and realize how stupid the schedule game is. Before the season started, a fair and reasonable, realistic Raiders fan, if you had told them, hey, we're going to start with the Broncos, Bills, Steelers, and Chargers and come out of that 2-2, you'd be doing cartwheels, right? Everybody would be saying, hey, that's, you know what, you just got through some just beef in that schedule. But then if you'd have looked and told everybody, hey, the Packers and the Patriots and, you know, Lions in there, people would be like, we'll see, right? As we stand right now, I don't know if the Steelers are any good. Like I said, the Chargers have just, they've been the weirdest team to watch through the course of this early part of the season. How the hell are they 0-2? The Packers and Jordan Love have looked much better than anybody expected the Packers and Jordan Love would look on the offensive side of the ball. We don't know if the Patriots are good. Like, this is where the danger comes. This is where, if you are a Raiders fan, I can't say this loud enough, stop worrying about who you're playing and just look inside and worry about how this team gets to be the best version of themselves that they can be by, like, week 8. Like, that's when the meat of this is going to get done. Can this Raiders team get a rhythm by the middle of the season? I find it hard to believe, Eddie, and maybe I've lost my damn mind. I find it hard to believe that Josh Jacobs is going to spend this year averaging about, I don't know, 12 yards a game. That just seems like that's an outlandish thing to continue to happen. And if it does continue to happen, I find it outlandish to think that the offense won't adjust to figure out how to force teams to defend them differently. So if you believe all of that, then you look at it and say, okay, the sky is not falling. It's just you got your butt whooped by a better team. Now what? You know, there's this so what, now what mentality.
100%. And now, like we talked about, the Raiders are going to have to fly back home. They're in the air right now as we record, coming back to the desert. They're going to have to reset the mechanism, get right, and get ready for Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Fitz will be off a week from today doing his real job. And we are actually going to be at the Twitch Lounge inside Allegiant Stadium for the fifth quarter, our first time there in 2023. I know it's been a minute. It's been a minute, but we are very excited to be back with the purple couches and all that jazz, man. It is going to be a lot of fun. But
I'm suddenly changing all my plans. I don't know. I'm just going to show up there in like a purple, like, you know, you got the purple couches. Yahoo's also purple. I could wear like a full purple onesie and just lounge on the couch all day.
I like that.
You know, just do my Yahoo work after that in the city. Oh,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, I feel like we're building something. I feel like we're something. But all the same, man, it was so good to see you, Fitz. On our way out, can you tell the people now where they can find you and all the incredible, fun, exciting things that you're up to?
I am super excited for what we're doing with Yahoo. You can follow me at Jason Fitz. You can get it there. But also, a lot of you guys play fantasy football on the Yahoo app. It's the number 2 fantasy football app in the world. So we're doing fantasy football content for you every Thursday live before Thursday Night Football. Plus, throughout the course of the whole week, we got a ton of digital live on demand and podcast shows that we're doing for you with all sorts of expertise. So make sure you're out there. Follow me on social media. And if you want to hang out with me on radio, Fox Sports Radio, I'm out there on Saturday mornings just doing God's work. So let's go, Eddie. I'm out there grinding in new spots, doing stuff I'm really proud of with people I love working with. Not as much as you, but you know, almost.
You're a good man, Fitz. And I'll forgive you for making us redo all your lower thirds. I will allow it this one time. It was a lot of work. You know, you're on our platforms everywhere. You got all the Fitz content coming. And it was a rather tedious deal to go in and switch out all those lower thirds. But we love you. We love hanging out with you. And this was great. We will see you week 4 against who do we have week 4? The Chargers, correct, Fitz? Can we confirm that?
The Chargers. Yep,
Chargers.
It's against the Chargers.
Yeah, so enjoy the week, air quotes, off of Raiders duty next week. And we will see you week 4. So for our guest this week, Mr. Jason Fitz. And a big shout out to our friends at Blue Wire for giving us shelter in the storm these past couple weeks. We genuinely appreciate them. They've been fantastic to work with. And if you guys are down at the Wind, come on by, check out their fantastic studio. The word I'm looking for, floor to ceiling windows. You can see it out there. And it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of foot traffic and we are very, very grateful for letting us hang out. So Freddie Pascal, my guy, Jason Fitz, our friends at Blue Wire and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be a tough Monday tomorrow, my friends, but we bounce back and we will see you guys from the Twitch Lounge next Sunday for our next episode of the Fifth Quarter.
Thank you for listening to the Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.